Previously on Coffee with Kenobi.
I want to go real quickly through Empire Online had a feature for the best movie villains of all time. There are 20 of them there. I won't go ahead and mention all of them now, but I will have a link to that in the show notes. But because this is, of course, a Star Wars podcast, there are three Star Wars villains in the list. 15 is Palpatine. Palpatine, who's that? 15 is Palpatine. Well, how late is it?
Number seven is... Ovaltine.
This is Vanessa Marshall, Harrison Dula from Star Wars Rebels, and you're listening to Coffee with Kenobi.
3, 2, go.
I've been running scams on the street since I was 10. I was kicked out of the flight academy for having a mind of my own. I'm gonna be a pilot. Best in the galaxy.
Hey, kid. I'm putting together a crew. You in?
That's yes.
I might be the only person. Who knows? What you really are.
What's that?
Get ready.
Thought we were in trouble there for a second, but it's fine. We're fine.
Hello and welcome to show number 108 of Coffee with Kenobi, your spoiler-free place for Star Wars discussion, analysis, and rhetoric. I'm your host, Dan Z, ready to take an in-depth look in Solo, a Star Wars story in the teaser trailer. And of course, there is no one better to do that with than my good friend and the co-creator of Coffee with Kenobi, Corey Club.
Hey, thanks for having me.
You bet, man. It's good to have you back on the show. We're going to talk with you, of course, about the trailer because that's our tradition, and this may be a bit of a temporary break in tradition after this one, which we'll talk about soon. We're also going to talk about, of course, this breaking news from Tuesday, February 6th, regarding another new series of Star Wars films. So everybody, pull up a chair, grab your favorite coffee mug, and let's have some coffee with Kenobi.
And now, let's see what's brewing in the Star Wars universe this week.
Now, before Corey and I get into this, Corey, I'm going to ask you a question. How expensive do you think razors are these days? Expensive?
Razors.
Man. Yeah. You don't really shave too much.
I don't shave too much. And if you recently looked at my Instagram, I've currently... I actually did shave a little bit today. I left the mustache. But for those out there looking to get a clean shave, I'm sure like a $5, $6 razor would be appropriate.
That's right. Well, I must ask you a question, speaking of your mustache. And I'm going to tell you about actually something that I've been using. It's Harry's razors. I don't know if you've heard about them,
okay.
What I love the most about shaving with Harry's is, okay, so I'm partnering with them and they're awesome. They sent me this sample and I have a pretty thick beard, way more manly than yours, of course. So it takes a lot for me to get a good clean shave, and Harry's is awesome. They're really all about great shave at a fair price. And Corey, I didn't know if you know this, my friend. There are over 3 million guys that have switched to Harry's, and this whole company started to really like this. Jeff and Andy are these two ordinary guys who are fed up with getting charged an arm and a leg for razor blades, so they started Harry's to fix shaving. And what they did was they got rid of all the unnecessary features that you find in razors, like vibrating handle, heating blades, 15 lubricating strips, and all that crazy stuff. And more importantly, probably, is the unnecessary cost to deliver customers one perfect razor at an amazing price. And of course, if you want to get shaved, you need good blades. And Harry's owns the factory, so they're able to deliver amazing quality blades for just $2 a blade, dude, compared to the $4 or more you're going to pay at the drugstore.
Yeah.
And everything is 100% quality guaranteed. Plus, you know, you're a man about town. Valentine's Day is coming up, and I'm sure your wife would love to have that good, clean shave. And I've got a special deal for you.
Okay.
Since you're the co-founder and co-creator of this show.
Did not expect this. I'm excited.
Well, yeah, you better get your pen out or okay. Just rewind this part. But basically, Harry's and Coffee with Kenobi are so confident you're going to love these blades. They're going to give you a trial shave set for free when you sign up for harrys.com/CWKfamily. All you have to pay is shipping, which is $3. So claim your free offer today from Harry's, $13 value for free when you sign up and you just cover the $3 for shipping. And this free trial set includes a weighted ergonomic razor handle, 5 precision engineered blades with a lubricating strip and a trimmer blade, rich lathering shave gel, which smells really good and lathers up awesome, and a travel blade cover. So get your free trial today at harrys.com/CWKfamily right now. That's harrys.com/CWKfamily. So now that I've sold you a nice set of razors, let's talk about the Solo. I mean,
another smooth kind of guy, right? I mean, a guy who's clean shaven himself.
He is.
You know, it's interesting because this is something, I guess, all in all, that I knew was kind of on the back burner. We knew it was coming. And I think
about the trailer, right? The teaser.
Yes, we're talking about the teaser. Sorry, yeah.
Because we do want to make sure that people know. Yes, we are going to talk about the news of the new Star Wars films that are coming out.
Right.
Not the Skywalker film series and not the Rian Johnson, but newer stuff that was just announced on Tuesday, February 6th. But before we do that, as you started to allude to, we're going to talk about the Solo teaser trailer today. And you were starting to say about sort of your initial kind of thoughts before you even saw it, right?
Right. I mean, I think if folks are kind of followed my thought line on a couple of past shows, I wasn't too keen on this whole property and, you know, making this project, just because I think Han Solo is such an icon in film. I think the character is, you know, he's classic. I mean, everybody wants to be him, you know, type thing. And he's a type of character that everybody kind of looks to when they create, you know, these scoundrel characters and whatnot. So I had my misgivings if that's the case going into this.
You've been saying that for as long as they've announced this.
That's right.
Yeah,
that's right.
I remember very well.
And so, as per usual, you and I are texting back and forth. You know, what's going to happen? We don't know for sure what we'll see. Super Bowl was last weekend. A lot of great fun commercials, great gameplay, and just, you know, all around a good time. So, you know, we were able to see the teaser on Super Bowl, and that alone, I mean, was pretty eye-catching to me, to say the least. You know, it going from that, and then the next day, obviously, we released the full trailer, which was even bigger and better, I think. But, you know, just talking from my perspective, I've done like a 360, man. I'm literally all in for this movie. That's how I feel about this trailer so far. I mean, I haven't stopped thinking about it. It's really got me excited. I mean, it makes me giddy almost. If I put it that way, it just makes me.
Oh yeah, I hear you.
And it's weird because I didn't expect that. I did not expect what I saw on screen. And I guess I'm excited because it's something. It feels like something new, but also feels something like something familiar. So, I mean, all in all, I'm excited to see it, and really, I don't know if I've been this excited since, you know, obviously the gearing up for A Force Awakens when it first, I was kind of like, you know, showing it the first trailer and, you know, that some excitement's going and getting excited. I was like, wow, this is really hitting me harder than I thought it would. So I was really taken aback by what the trailer posed and, you know, everything was kind of caught there, but I mean, I'm excited for it. It's going to be a lot of fun. And I can't wait to see more of it.
You know, I've always been thinking, okay, this is going to be a Solo film. We're going to see stuff about Han Solo when he's younger. We're going to see when he meets Chewbacca and he gets the Falcon and all good things. But like with Rogue One, the standalone films make me happy because they're Star Wars films, but I'm just way more focused on the Skywalker saga. So I don't feel as invested. Like I don't feel like there's as much risk if they're not maybe what you might hope for in a Star Wars film. But Rogue One was tremendous. It was an incredible, incredible film that just brought Star Wars to a different place. And it was, and not only was it gorgeous, but the acting was great. And they added new characters to the pantheon of this mythology. and amazing. Now, you said, like, I remember you and Jeff and I talking about this often, and I never really looked at this movie as a risk because Harrison Ford is still Han Solo, and that isn't going to change. But I just knew that I wanted to see something cool, and I was excited about it. So the Super Bowl is on, and I love watching the Super Bowl regardless of who's playing. The commercials are fun. I like seeing the trailers. But knowing that we're going to see a Star Wars trailer during the Super Bowl is definitely a new one, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So it comes on, and I remember putting my hand up like, okay, everyone in the universe, be quiet. Let's listen up. Happen. And then you see like the way it's lit. And then because if you watch the commercial for the Super Bowl, it's quite a bit different from the actual trailer that was released the next day on Monday on Good Morning America. So I encourage you to watch both. And there's even different dialogue. The first one is really smart because it doesn't really show Alden Ehrenreich until the very, very end. And his face is shaded, which is all kind of a lot you can do with the analysis of that particular thing. But so much popped in the feel, the grit. Like if you didn't know better, you'd think this was an old film, just the way that it looked on the trailer. And you've got this gorgeous, like kind of thumping music. And I was blown away. There's just a lot of different thematic elements that you don't always see. It's amazing to me that Star Wars, it's everywhere, even more so than we ever dreamed possible. And it still is reinventing itself and making different polishes on this standard of excellence for cinema and mythology. I too am blown away, and it's only a few months away until we get to actually see it, which is pretty crazy.
Yeah, that's one thing that took me too, is like, this is only a few months away and we're not waiting, for months and months and months to get something more and just to see the whole film. You know, excitement seems to die down a little bit, but this is right around the corner, for me, I guess, as just thinking about it and going into the movie season. Really, May is kind of where everything kicks off for summer. The big movies are kind of coming out of the gate. And, the other thing, like you made a good thought about the way it looked. It had a very Rogue One feel to me. Like it would be just torn right out of that movie itself, almost, that kind of goes really in that same vein. This is something different. This isn't a Skywalker movie. This is something that's a little bit different than you normally see as a Star Wars film. And I think that I like that. I've grown used to that now.
Right.
And I'm accepting it. It's so cool because, I mean, I'll kind of tell you, I'll walk through the day they dropped the full trailer, getting ready for work, we normally do. And I knew it was going to drop in Good Morning America. And, lo and behold, before I went to work, it was ready to go. So I got my headphones on and sat down and watched it. And just really was drawn into it. The characters really came to life for me. There's kind of this dark drab to it. There wasn't a whole lot of necessarily comedy. But there was a different, an undertone of grittiness, like you mentioned, and, scoundrels and kind of backwater and those kind of things. Something's going down, this isn't a typical Star Wars, happy-go-lucky sunrise feeling. But
like The Last Jedi, that happy-go-lucky.
Yeah, well, that's a different story. But I found myself coming away from the trailer just excited and happy. Mm-hmm. And it's funny because I found maybe a little silly to admit this, but I drove to work kind of in the mindset of Han racing through the streets of some, dirty city, looking to, escape somewhere. I found myself putting myself in his shoes and feeling like this begrudging character that's, looking to make something of himself in a universe that's, maybe doesn't want him in a sense. It kind of has that feeling to me. And I thought like, this is a cool feeling. This is nice, And, here am I driving my car to work, of all things, and hope, kind of replaying that music theme in my head, that thumping music and that almost like, what's that, electric guitar feeling? And I was like, wow, that's a really interesting move. Like a starting engine of something. What a great way to introduce this to the franchise, So I was just like, man, this is just cool. I mean, that's something you don't say for Star Wars. Star Wars, usually it's like, oh man, it's, incredible or eye-catching or... this is just kind of like, a cool chase feeling of a getaway scene or something that just feels like there's a whole different aspect to this that I guess I didn't think about. Like we knew, like I said, we kind of had some ideas of what the plot might be, who's going to come, characters going to run into. And I'm all down for that too. I mean, I think we'll get into that too, our top five and whatnot, but I just right away, it just kicked me right into fifth gear and I was just excited to see more.
This is Coffee with Kenobi.
Coffee with Kenobi is sponsored by the Star Wars digital card trader collecting app from Topps. If you love Star Wars and love the excitement of chasing your favorite Star Wars collectibles, the Star Wars digital card trader collecting app from Topps is for you. Download the free app from iTunes or Google Play and collect your favorite images from the classic 1977 Star Wars cards to the Clone Wars, Star Wars Rebels, The Force Awakens, Rogue One, The Last Jedi, and much more. Collect and trade with friends new and old through the Star Wars Digital Card Trader Collecting App from Topps. These are the cards you're looking for. Before we get on with the show, I want to thank our Patreon contributors who have done so much for our Coffee with Kenobi family. And I'm talking about people like Ben Elkington, Terry Lee, Dennis Keithley, Aaron Harris, Angela Souse, Mediocre Jedi, Tyler Wiggins, Crystal Hayding, Christian Dale, Jason Hall, Brian McKinney, Connie Shee, Mike Audette, Jared Cantor, BJ Smith, Eric Struthers, Nick Deco, Mark Suter, and so many more. What Patreon does is it helps contributors, and for Coffee with Kenobi, what that means is you help us with the audio equipment, all the things we're doing with our YouTube channel now, travel that we try to do to bring you conversation from all around the world, and it's just been so helpful because of each of you. And there are things that you get out of this as well. For $5 or more a month, you get recognition from me at the start of the show, just like you just heard, and we will follow you from CWK on Twitter. $10 or more a month, you get access to our Discord page, which has this awesome app, and you can get notifications when there's breaking news or someone has a Star Wars thing they want to talk about. We'll all find out about it right away, courtesy of our mobile phones, and then we can have that conversation right away. There's also coffee mugs, t-shirts, host a show with me once, twice, or four times in 1 month. There's a lot that goes into it. And Patreon has a brand new thing called Lens. And what it basically is sort of like InstaStory, but it's just for Patreon members. And for example, the other day, I showed pictures of my studio and a little bit of me talking on a video about an upcoming show. There are just different things I can do, different ways I can communicate with you and show you behind the scenes and special stuff that only you will get access to. So if you want to help out the show and be even more ensconced in Coffee with Kenobi and what we do here for our little show, go ahead and check out the Patreon page on our website or via the show notes. Thank you so very much. Well, so that's a good transition because let's do our top five. And again, okay. These top five are, and we just kind of make them up as we're sort of thinking and as we're talking with each other. We pick five things we want to talk about that jump out at us from the teaser trailer. And do you want to kind of piggyback on what you just said and go first? Or you want me to kick it off?
I can go first. Sure. No problem. And yeah, the first one that kind of hit me was, again, I'm going to just come back to that Rogue One feeling. Cause I really enjoyed that film too. That was a great expansion to the film franchise going outside the boundaries of, the Skywalker saga and giving us another look at, you know, some of these other characters. And this seems to do that same thing. So I feel like it's in that same vein of something different. So I think the idea of something different is really a great way to put the cinematography together. You know, that again, that same octane throttling feel, something different, I guess, in general was just a nice feeling to have for this film.
It just means sort of like the overall, just not only I mean, I'll see what you're saying, and I'll take the first one is to talk about what I said at the beginning of the show, which is the initial way that they show this, and I'm talking right now about the Super Bowl commercial, where they show him sitting down, basically in a sort of a job interview, really. And they say, "What do you want to do?" And he says he wants to be a pilot, and I really just love that whole kind of vibe, and like you said, it takes this film or this, what we're going to see in this film. And it shows you right away that again, they managed to make you feel like you're in A New Hope. Now this film literally just from what I've seen, you know, what we've seen, probably 2 minutes, 15 seconds of it, if that, it really does feel like it came out in the 70s. Like, it really
yeah.
has that aesthetic quality. The way it's lit leads very much into that, and just the kind of the tone and like the colorization of the film. And I was watching on HD on a 70-inch screen, you know, got the full surround sound set up and a great receiver, but it still had that quality to it. Like, there was a bit of a haze to it, a professional looking haze, of course. And that really is gripping to me, because it's going to give us that thing. Plus, you know, you see Han Solo's haircut and you feel like you're in the 70s. And but with kind of a twist to it. So that would be my number one as well.
Sure. Sure. That's cool. I guess for my second one, just overall, I think there's a bunch of new characters, new locations. It's really exciting to me to see kind of that, some of that stuff, and seeing how the Empire is working there. And we saw a couple of glimpses of that. You said there's like a kind of a recruitment center of some sort he's entered, and we see some pieces of the Empire here and there. And it's cool to see that in other aspects. We see it a lot in Rebels too, you know, how it's infiltrating on our planets, how that movement is working across the galaxy. And one of the comments that the little recruiter guy says, something like, well, you're going to love it, or something to that effect, like, you're going to love it here. And it's an interesting aspect of that thought process, you know. What are, you know, his thoughts around that? And just that idea of the Empire still has this grip on the galaxy, and how it, you know, filters throughout different planets, and hopefully some planets that we haven't seen before. So again, I can't come with any answers, but I think I like the idea of new locations and the Empire kind of taking their hold on those places.
My number two is got to be the 2,000 pound gorilla that's in the room, and that is
starring Alden Ehrenreich.
Alden Ehrenreich. He is the man who's going to become Han Solo for this generation and many, many future generations to come. And typically when you think about certain characters, they're sort of inseparable from the actors that play them. Now, a number of people have played Hannibal Lecter, but to me, Hannibal Lecter is Anthony Hopkins, right? Indiana Jones, I hope that they do some sort of a reboot or keep the character around, but it's still Harrison Ford. Now, ironically, obviously Han Solo is Harrison Ford. Now let's look at James Bond, right? When James Bond came on the scene, he was Sean Connery. And to me, Sean Connery is still the best Bond, but I've also loved Roger Moore. I love Daniel Craig. I thought Pierce Brosnan had some good ones. I mean, there have been a number of good Bonds. And now we get to Han Solo. And I've always loved Solo, obviously. But if I had to pick, I would have always picked Luke, because I typically tend to go with the more squeaky clean guy. Like, in others, I'm much more Captain America than I am Wolverine. You know what I mean?
Yeah, sure,
so,
sure.
But so Han is very, very sacred to me. But I guess I've always been okay with them having a different actor play him, because, you know, I like the idea of seeing more about Han's origins. And I love the Falcon, and I love Chewbacca, and I just love Han's vibe. So the vibe to me is critical. Now, it's going to be tricky for people, and it's going to be tricky for me, because I'm going to want to see Harrison Ford as a young man, and that's not going to happen. And Alden Ehrenreich right away does not sound like, his voice does not sound like Harrison Ford. And I don't think he's trying to sound like Harrison Ford, which
sure.
really is probably a really, really good thing. So there's that. Yeah. But just from what we've seen, the swagger, you can see a little more insecurity in him than you do in the later films. And that's because he's starting out, I would assume. But just sort of the way he carries himself and the walk and the profile, and like I said, the way they have his hair styled, he feels like I'm watching Han Solo. Just like his posture, his you know, like the kind of the gait when he walks. And again, a very, very, very small sample size. But I was so happy about that. I mean, that's what you got to sell.
Sure.
And Ehrenreich is a great actor. So this is very encouraging. And honestly, I think if it didn't look like that, right away we'd just be saying, that's not Harrison Ford, that's not Han Solo, but I didn't feel that way.
You know, you make a good point, and that's something I had to kind of come to grips with, because you're right. I mean, this character can't be played by anybody else but Harrison Ford. But the thing is that I had to kind of come together with, I guess, had to get over, I guess, for my own fandom, was this is not the This is not the Han Solo Harrison Ford is playing. This is a younger version that is pre Harrison Ford, if you want to put it that way. And I kind of tweeted out about this, and maybe I'm just going in a weird direction, but the character that Woody Harrelson plays is kind of his mentor, or alluded to be that character. That's what Woody Harrelson has said. So I think if we're going to look for anything that has to do with Han Solo and that swagger, and yes, he's coming into his own, I guess. I think we need to look at Woody Harrelson's character and see how he acts on screen and kind of take away from that, because that's the man he's going to become in a sense. Like, obviously he takes bits and pieces from everybody and becomes his own guy type thing. And we see in Episode 4, but I think we're not going to see that. And I have to go over that as a fan. This is not the Han Solo we see that's, you know, built himself up and done all these things to be the Episode 4, A New Hope Han Solo. This is his rite of passage, if you will, to become that. And I think it's exciting to see that, because we can see how he's growing and molding and changing. So, I'm going to keep a keen eye out for how, you know, Woody Harrelson plays his character and see if I can pick up on some things. And I'm excited to see that interaction as well. So I definitely agree with you on that. It's a good point.
Is that your number three, the Woody Harrelson thing, or is that just sort of piggybacking?
I would just kind of just kind of running with it, I guess, a little bit, just a thought I had overall. My number three.
Well, let me, before you jump into your three, I'm going to pull you out of light speed for a second. when they show the beginning, when he's talking about how, you know, he was kicked out for having a mind of his own, which I really, really like that line. I mean, you can tell the writing's going to be crisp for this thing.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's a very clean looking film as far as just like, you can tell Ron Howard is doing it. You know what I mean? He's just,
yes.
The guy's a pro. He knows his way behind the camera. He knows how to use a green screen and special effects. But so that might be a preview of my third. I don't know. We'll sort of see how the conversation goes. But when they show him driving in that sort of that hot rod type of thing, that sort of American graffiti look to it, and he's turning around and he's got that grimace that Hansel
Gruber. He's having fun, yeah.
Yeah, he's having fun, but I'm also realizing, like, when I'm looking at, like, whenever I watch the original trilogy or The Force Awakens, I see Harrison Ford and I see Han Solo at the same time. They're, like, inseparable. When I look at this, I just see Han Solo, like, a different version of Han Solo. I don't see Harrison Ford at all.
Right.
And even though I miss that, I also don't miss that. And that doesn't make a lot of sense, but it makes sense in my mind. Hopefully it will resonate with our CWK family when they hear that. It just all kind of ties in. It will take a little bit of getting used to, but once do buy in, oh boy, you know what I mean? So,
well, that's all valid too. I mean, right? Because Aaron Reich is playing a character that everyone loves. They're going to match him up to what they think of Han Solo, whether he likes it or not. And I feel bad for the guy, but you know, that's his boots to fill. Now I also think back to the young Dana Jones that we see in The Last Crusade. In the beginning of that film, a young Indiana Jones kind of working, you know, his way up to adventure, kind of coming into his own. And we see that same mentality. We don't really bat an eye at that. We understand that this is a young Indiana Jones. This is not Harrison Ford, obviously. But yet he's still looking for adventure, still, kind of growing into himself. And that, I think that's the kind of film we're going to get. You know, it's just a big version of that. And I'm good with that. I think I'm excited for that because, I mean, there's so much story to tell. I mean, right? I mean, it's something we as fans have to kind of look past a little bit and give it a shot, and just see how well he does on the screen. And like you mentioned, the timbre of his voice is not exactly the same. But you know, he hasn't seen all he's seen yet. So it's there's more to come. But anyway, I mean, I think it's a great conversation to have. I think everybody's excited to forge their opinion, I think. But I think it's too early to tell, I guess. So my number three is kind of in vein of the same idea, but something that everybody's been clamoring about is just excitement of Donald Glover being Lando Calrissian and the young version of him that nobody really kind of says, oh, well, this isn't, you know, Billy Dean Williams, and he's, you know, this is, I'm waiting for, you know, the swagger and the, you know, that's those type of mentalities that we see in Empire Strikes Back. But again, I mean, my number three, Donald Glover, I think he looks the part, you know, and the flashes we see of him, we don't get any dialogue, but man, that 70s vibe is he's rocking those sideburns. So I think it's really fun to see that. And see Donald Glover really take a chance at, again, another young actor coming into his own. I'm building, you know, this history, this legendary status of Lando Calrissian, and obviously their friendship and their missions and their activities and adventures together. I think hopefully that I have no doubt that they picked two characters or two actors that could really play off each other really well and come on screen and really do a good job. So Donald Glover, I think he looked the part again. He looks great. He smiled in the longer version of the trailer. He smiles and he looks just like a young Lando Calrissian, Billy Dee Williams. So I'm in for them.
Yeah, I think that's going to be an even tougher sell for me. And I love Donald Glover and I love Lando and I love Billy Dee. So it's, to me, Billy Dee's harder to separate from Lando.
Okay.
Then I don't know why that is, and maybe that's just because it's still fresh in my mind. And you know, ask me in a week, I might have a different theory.
Yeah.
I think he looked great. He definitely looked great. I need to hear him talk.
Yeah.
I need to hear him talk as Lando. And as soon as I do, I know that I will be completely, you know, buy into everything hook, line, and sinker.
Sure,
and
sure.
To me, part of Lando, besides that charm and that gleam in his eye, which Donald Glover definitely has, is I need to see him say something like, you know, not necessarily hello, what have we here, but just something. Just give me something. So
yeah.
As much as I love what I've seen so far, I need more before I'm ready to, you know, get the tattoo next to my chopper tattoo.
There you go. Fair enough.
So my number three is what I kind of alluded to before, and that is Ron Howard. And what he did here in the cinematography and the lighting, the film, yet again, the last four Star Wars films, including the Solo one, they just look absolutely gorgeous. They look like works of art. They don't look like, you know, some sort of a popcorn flick, you know, let's put a lot of special effects in here and get it out there and sell some toys and get some streaming and some downloads. They look like they're trying to get cinematic, you know, art, visual, compelling, you know, just cinematic language. And you know, like when they have that scene where Harrison, or not, geez, it's gonna be hard to do it, when Hansel is looking up at that silhouette of the Falcon,
yeah,
and you know, it's very dark, but you can see the shadow. And you know, when they show the close-up of like the back of his thigh and he's unclipping the holster, you know, very much like Old West Showdown feel.
Yep.
Just again, there's this atmospheric quality that he has injected into this thing. And I just feel like, even though for whatever reason people have been panicked that there haven't been a lot of things said about the film, mm-hmm. or because they had to do a last minute change in directors and all this kind of stuff, I've never been concerned with that because, again, Lucasfilm, they're not going to squander, and Disney, they're not going to squander this investment. And this is a big one. I mean, putting a movie about Han Solo, that's a big, big, big deal. They're not going to screw it up. And I think this is just completely evidence, proof positive that Ron Howard is going to make his own impact on the Kessel Run.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with that. I think Ron Howard's definitely capable. And I can't wait to see him do a Star Wars film. That's right. I mean, like, it seems like it just goes so well together, peanut butter and jelly. But I think he's got great eye. He's got great visualization and great, you know, obviously puts out great films. So, I mean, you can't really go wrong.
This is Vanessa Marshall, and you're listening to Coffee with Kenobi.
Let me give you a task. Pick out a wine that you're going to love, but there is a catch. It has to be one you haven't had before. Now, where would you start? Introducing Wink, spelled W-I-N-C. Wink's name actually comes from the combination of wine plus incorporated, so you have wine plus ink equals Wink. Wink makes it easy to discover great wine, because Wink's wine experts select wines matched to your tastes personalized for you and shipped right to your door, starting at just $13 a bottle. Wink makes exploring new wines fun and easy with delicious wine based on your taste, delivered right to your doorstep every single month. There's really nothing like that first time you come home to a box of four bottles of wine selected just for you. All you have to do is you fill out Wink's palate profile quiz. You'll answer simple questions like, how do you take your coffee? How do you feel about blueberries? Things like that. And then Wink will send wines curated to your taste. The more wines you rate, the more personalized your monthly selections. And each month there are new delicious wines like the insanely popular Summer Water Rosé. There are no membership fees, you can skip any month, and you can cancel any time. Plus, shipping is covered. And if you don't like a bottle they send you, they will replace it with a bottle you love, no questions asked. With online ordering, quick shipping, and personalized recommendations, Wink makes discovering wine really, really easy, and you're going to love it. You're also going to love the Wink Journal, which is included with every wine each month. It gives you recipes to pair with your wines, info about the selections curated for you, and it has a great design, making it perfect for the coffee table. It's really, really easy to go to a store and settle for the same old bottle of wine that you like and leaves you kind of eh, but it's so much easier to let Wink ship wine right to your door that is perfectly matched for you. So sit back and relax or celebrate with your glass. You have finally discovered the best way to find new wines that you'll love with Wink. Discover great wine today. Go to trywink.com/CWKfamily and you'll get $20 off your first shipment. That's trywink.com/CWKfamily, all one word, for $20 off. trywink.com/CWKfamily.
The Star Wars Digital Card Trader collecting app features incredible images from many aspects of the saga, including the original trilogy, the prequels, The Clone Wars, Rebels, The Force Awakens, and Rogue One. It's the quality you have come to expect from Topps. It's also easy to get into and really fun too. Your favorite Star Wars characters, scenes, and moments are in every pack. To get started, download the app for free from iTunes or Google Play, and then be sure to open the app each day for free credits to spend on card packs from the Cantina. Plus, if you can't get what you're looking for, there's a place to trade with your friends as you complete your Star Wars collection. And if you're an experienced collector, there are exclusive cards, special inserts, and autograph opportunities for you to enjoy. Don't worry about missing the cards and sets you want either, as you can sign up for notifications right on the app. The Star Wars Digital Card Trader collecting app from Topps can be downloaded for free from iTunes or Google Play. Be sure to download the app and start your collection today. The Star Wars Digital Card Trader collecting app from Topps is available now. And remember, these are the cards you're looking for.
Yeah, my number four, moving ahead here, is that mysterious mercenary slash villain character. He looks really cool. And he's not Boba Fett. So it's something different we've never seen before, and I like the newness. I like the like you had that so that showdown scene, and I think it was my favorite clip from the whole trailer was that you know that unsnapping of his gun there, like something's gonna go down, and very spaghetti western, very has that in vein of like, you know, they're gonna throw down here or something's gonna go on, and we don't know, but we don't know what his character is. He looks really impressive. We have a close-up shot of him in the trailer, him or her or whoever. I mean, that's the other thing. It's like there's so much mystery surrounding this film. You think you know going in what's going to happen, but yet they throw some curveballs at you, and you're like, wow, what's going on here? You know, so it's really cool to see a new type of villain that's not a white lightsaber wielding character that's, you know, causing havoc and chaos. But this is something else that's, again, kind of takes me back to my first one, is kind of the new landscapes and new places. We're visiting new places, getting new characters. So I think that's a lot of fun.
I love that. Well, my number four is the humor in this. And I'm thinking, you know, specifically about the end when, okay, you know, they are, I don't even remember the exact line, but he basically says, well, you know, it looks like we're all fine. We're okay. And then all of a sudden they show them all screaming. There's this huge 20,000 leagues under the sea tentacle reaching over at them. And I just like kind of the look on his face again. There's just that part of me is like, but are you trying to act like Harrison Ford? I don't think he is. I think he's doing a Han Solo impression. I think he's acting like Han Solo,
sure,
not like Harrison Ford. And you can see that there and just got that charm and that gleam in his eye, which you very much see when, the actress from Game of Thrones, who I can't think of her character name right now, but I'll check while I'm babbling on here. She says, basically, I'm the one who really knows who you are,
yeah,
or where you're from. And he says, what's that? And he kind of makes it, he almost like gives that sort smirk. Of like this, he gives a smirk, but he almost kind of twitches like he's uncomfortable.
Yeah. There's two pieces.
There's
there.
History there. Yeah.
Yeah. There's something there with those characters, and that's, you know, it's, yeah, you bring up a lot of good points, and I like to expound on that, but
thank you. I have my moments.
Yeah, for my last one here, and we can continue to discuss, but man, that Falcon, that crisp, clean, oh man, it was sharp looking. The white walls, the silver chrome, the buttons are all working. You know, it's a far shot away from what we see or know the Falcon is, a hunk of junk, you know, the piece of garbage that Ray calls it. You know, this, here it is in its prime, man, and in its prime. Imagine what it can do in its prime. It's so cool to see that, obviously. I keep forgetting that, like, that's a character too in itself. We come to know this ship so well. It's so enamored in this character of Han Solo and Lando Calrissian and Star Wars in itself. It's just seeing it again in a whole new way that I hadn't expected. You know, something I keep getting, you know, really just side smacked in the idea of like this. I didn't expect that. Wow. They threw another one at me, you know, a brand new clean looking, Millennium Falcon. So I think that in itself is going to be a lot of tales to tell.
Is that your number four?
That's my number five. It's exciting to see it on screen again.
Kira, Q-I-apostrophe-R-A, or okay, reverse apostrophe, Kira. That's her name. Kira, I think that's how they're going to pronounce it.
Sure,
so,
okay.
Some sort of a woman from his past. Mm. He clearly seems to be kind of, you know, clearly impacted by her.
Yeah.
Five, I hadn't even thought about the Falcon yet, but that's definitely a good five, but I kind of would like to do that as well. I just like that shot of the interior, like you said, so clean. I'm sure you've seen that thing that someone posted where there's a shot of the Falcon clean. And yeah. Chewie walks in and shakes his fur and everything's like it is in the, what we know. So I love that. Anything with a Falcon is automatically great. Mm. I've already told my son that when we do have some sort of a Force Friday, Solo Friday, whatever they call it,
yes.
And there's a Lego of the Falcon, I'm going to get it.
That's so cool.
Build it together because
I'm
just enamored with that. So that could easily be my number five. But I think my number five, I already mentioned the humor. I talked about Aaron Reich. I think it's just that sense of being back in this world in a very different way from Rogue One. Rogue One was more crisp. This one like has that grit. And it doesn't feel like they're trying to. It feels like it's filmed in the 70s. And one of the things I think adds to the tapestry of that is the music. And I'm not sure if this is music from the actual soundtrack. I mean, it very well could be. And if that's going to be like that kind of that thing with the horns, if that's going to be Solo's theme that John Williams is doing, you know, he's just doing the theme of Solo, the character for this movie, but just kind of got this, it almost has a Chris Nolan Dark Knight feel to it.
A little bit, and yeah.
None of the soundtracks to the other Star Wars films, including Rogue One, have felt that kind of sense of that kind of power to that degree in kind of a almost like a jazzy orchestral sound to it and very, very, you know, got a lot of punch to it. And that really, I think, resonated with me quite a bit.
Mm. Yeah, it's overall the trailer itself is really nicely edited.
It's so good.
Yeah. It itself is really nice. I really, that first scene where he's flipping the buttons and there's no music, just him flick, flick, flick. We kind of know that sound, right? So it's kind of cool. Wow, this is cool. Something's revving up here. And then the music comes in and really gets us going. And then we're off to a chase scene and stuff. It's just like, it doesn't stop. And hopefully that's how the film is, you know, kind of just one big long, you know, excitement adventure that I, you know, it's telling a story, obviously. But I think it's going to be great. I'm excited to continue to see more stuff and as we get along here. I mean, we're not too far away, honestly. We said before, but one thing that I realized, and it's been kind of stewing about for me, My wife hasn't seen all the movies, Star Wars movies, and she hasn't seen the most recent ones. And she just, yeah, it's not her thing. I get that. And that's cool. But I realized this is a movie I can take my wife to and not have anything I have to explain to her.
Huh.
You know, I don't have to say, hey, this is this character and they're related to this, that guy. I mean, yeah, she has to know a little bit, but that doesn't matter. I mean, she can go in and see this film and not need to know anything necessarily. Enjoy the film cool. for what it is. So I think that's what we try to like pick movies for each other once a year that we want to see together. And we kind of like, you know, she picks something she wants to see and I'm kind of rolling my eyeballs and I pick something I want to see and she rolls her eyeballs, but you know, we get through it and we have a good time. So I think this is what I'm going to pick. So, I mean, it's something I think that fans looking to maybe introduce or give a quick little spoon feeding to another fan or a friend or a family member to say, hey, you know, here's Star Wars. They haven't seen it yet or really haven't got into it yet. Here's a piece of it that you might enjoy because it's not, you don't have to know a lot of backstory and characters and whatnot. You know, there's nothing to be spoiled, right? I mean, there's nothing, so nothing going in. So, I think it's a great film to be able to jump in on the franchise with.
Do you want to hear something crazy?
Do it.
This is the 10th Star Wars film.
Yeah. That's crazy.
That is crazy. So anything you want to say that didn't work for you before we jump into the other huge stuff that's going on this week in Star Wars?
Yeah.
Honestly, I can't think of anything that really didn't work. I mean, I really can't. And I'm, again, far from a sycophant. I think you need to be intellectually honest and a critical thinker. And there's nothing here that made me think, ooh, I don't like this. So why don't we stop here and take a really quick break? And then when we come back, we are going to talk about a brand new series of Star Wars films. This is Coffee with Kenobi.
This is Coffee with Kenobi.
Coffee with Kenobi was sponsored by the Star Wars digital card trader collecting app from Topps. If you love Star Wars and love the excitement of chasing your favorite Star Wars collectibles, the Star Wars digital card trader collecting app from Topps is for you. Download the free app from iTunes or Google Play and collect your favorite images from the classic 1977 Star Wars cards to the Clone Wars, Star Wars Rebels, The Force Awakens, Rogue One, and now The Last Jedi. Collect and trade with friends new and old through the Star Wars digital card trader collecting app from Topps. These are the cards you're looking for. Let's transition into something else that has recently been announced on February 6th that is also very much a hot topic these days in Star Wars fandom, and that is the breaking news that David Benioff and D.B. Weiss, creators of the Emmy Award-winning television series Game of Thrones, will write and produce a new series of Star Wars films. Initial reactions.
Woof.
Yeah, I mean, that's right.
Like you said just earlier, this is the 10th film we're getting is a solo film.
Yeah.
And they were announced recently that Rian Johnson has his own trilogy is coming out. Obviously, we have episode 9 to wait on. They have a third unknown standalone film. And then all of a sudden, this brand new trilogy they announced, or I don't know if it's just, they said series of films, so we don't
know how many. Doesn't say trilogy. I know.
Sure. So it's but it's not a Skywalker film, and it's not a Rian Johnson centered film. So I mean, if you want to start adding the numbers up, we're talking, you know, another 10 films almost, right? I mean, just in that kind of space of time. And you know, my initial thought is like, let's hold up on this train a little bit. I mean, like, we are getting a lot of films in the next 5 to 10 years, if that. I mean, it's gonna be stretched out pretty long, and as much as we get from Rebels, obviously that's ending this spring here. But something I'm guaranteed will take its place. They've talked about doing, you know, Netflix type series. There's a bunch of avenues. I mean, it's just in talks. I mean, there's nothing guaranteed. There's nothing official.
But there is. In fact, the Bob Iger said very recently that there are a number of TV series that are being in development right now that we're going to see next year.
Okay. Well, that's news to me then, maybe.
That makes you feel even more like, oh.
Yeah, so
let's get the whole thing out on the slate first.
Yeah, sure. Go ahead.
So these new films, like you mentioned, are going to be separate from the Skywalker saga and also separate from Rian Johnson's upcoming Star Wars trilogy, of which we know nothing about. So the official site has a quote from Kathleen Kennedy, which says, David and Dan are some of the best storytellers working today. Their command of complex characters, depth of story, and richness of mythology will break new ground and boldly push Star Wars in ways I find incredibly exciting. That's all we know. But there are certain buzzwords that jump out from me. Complex characters, which, to be fair, we've got some great characters with some compelling moments, but we don't have Hamlet in Star Wars yet. And maybe this will bring that, although I think Anakin is pretty close. The depth of story and the richness of mythology, which is a huge buzzword for me. But to me, there are a couple of things, and you started to talk about that, and I want to hear you finish your thoughts on that, or at least add to them. But there's a few things that I think need to be talked about. One is the amount of Star Wars we're getting, and two, these particular creators and what that may or may not mean for the stories. So excited? Are you? I put up a poll and I said, are people excited?
Yeah.
Are they trepidatious? Are they nervous, or do they not like it at all? And where would you put yourself in that category?
I can't say I don't like it at all, because we're getting more Star Wars, right? I mean, it's great, but I feel oversaturated a little bit. I mean, I don't want it to be so numbing that we're getting films and not caring about them. Like, oh, another Star Wars film. Oh, another, you know, Marvel film. Another DC film. Oh, no, you know, as it goes down to the wire and as these films go on, like, I don't want it to become a franchise that's oversaturated with films that just don't matter. Right. I mean,
that's powerful. That's really powerful.
Right. Exactly. You'll be spitting out films that just don't make a dent in the series, or don't make a dent in fandom. People are like, you know, that was that one film, you know, because everybody has their favorite Star Wars film right now. I mean, like, it's just the way it goes type thing. But all of a sudden now, if you're counting up to, you know, let's say we have 20 films, like, that's in keeping track of everything on top of the comic books, on top of the book series, and on top of the, you know, the cartoon series and the, you know, the Netflix series and, you know, all these things that are coming out, like, woof. I mean, I feel like it's just like, it's homework, or it's a job that you have to like go and put immerse yourself into. Okay, what's going on with this guy? Okay, well, who's this guy? No, he's connected to this guy over here and over here. And it's just like, yes, they're separated, but also they're all together. So I'm on the lower end of things, if you want to put it that way. I mean, I'm not against it, but I'm also not already in its camp, you know, rooting for more, because I want to get to the ones that have already been announced. I mean, I mean, maybe they're further along than we think, but I want to see what, you know, Rian Johnson has up his sleeves before, you know, we get to something even brand new and fresher than this.
Yeah, you said you had a lot of good things there that I want to try to address one at a time if I can.
Sure.
Do justice to your wisdom, good sir.
Oh, just me ranting, that's all.
Oh, yeah, that's okay. We're used to that. We like the ranting. It's always a good thing to hear Corey rant. So as far as I would put myself, if I was answering that poll, I would put trepidatious.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not because I'm afraid it won't be any good. I have a hard time ever embracing or subscribing to anything resembling that kind of logic. Because everything that they've done has been great. You know, you may or may have certain things you quibble with or that didn't resonate with you, but the quality of these films and the investment and the talent and the scripts, they've all been so rock solid that you have nothing but reasons to be happy about that.
Yeah.
I think. And that's just my point of view. So we've got that. But I tweeted about this today. I quoted that thing from Romeo and Juliet that I like to quote, which basically in essence says, look, too much of a good thing is too much of a good thing.
Yeah.
So it's kind of challenging in a way, because, I mean, obviously, you know, I'm a big Star Wars fan. I mean, we're all big Star Wars fans.
Yeah.
You know, we all put a lot of emotion and investment into this sort of thing. Here's the quote. The sweetest honey is loathsome in his own deliciousness, and in taste confounds the appetites. Therefore, love moderately, long love doth so. And what that means in modern terms is, too much honey is delicious, but it makes you sick to your stomach. Therefore, love each other in moderation. That is the key to long-lasting love.
Hmm.
Now, let's take that and put that into Star Wars terms. Star Wars is so awesome, and we love it dearly. When there's so much of it, it's still a little bit more challenging to find that level of excitement we felt when we walked into theaters and watched The Force Awakens, mm-hmm. or when we saw Return of the Jedi, or when we knew there was going to be a new Star Wars film and it was The Phantom Menace, when we're walking to theaters just about ready to embrace a new series of films that we didn't think we would see. So it's hard to meet that. You know, the Marvel thing is the best comparison, the most apt comparison, because right. we love these Marvel films. And when I went to Spider-Man Homecoming and Thor Ragnarok, as excited as I was, as much as I enjoyed them, it was very much like a normal sort of a day. And then a few hours, I turned off my brain and enjoyed these films and talked about it a little bit, but then you forget about it.
Yeah.
Now, when there's a new Star Wars movie, I think about it for weeks and it just stays with me. And the night before, I'm excited. And then after the movie, I can't stop talking about it and blogging about it and podcasting about it. And it's just very much there.
Yeah. But
so I go and I see The Last Jedi. I was so excited. But even like a half hour before it started, I still was kind of like, just sort of kind of in my own little world. Mm-hmm. That feeling, that adrenaline. And it's not because I wasn't excited, because I was going to get to see Luke Skywalker. And I love The Last Jedi, as I've said many times. So I'm becoming a little bit like a goldfish. It's the goldfish factor, right? Every day you feed goldfish the same exact food every single day. And they wolf it down and they live on it and they love it. But that's all they ever have, right? I want more Star Wars. But like you said, it does become rather intense. I mean, look, because of the show and because I like it and I want to know everything about the mythology and the canon, I read all the books, all the comics, see all the movies, try to get into the short stories. I try to consume as much as I possibly can. What I'm saying is that that's a lot to digest. I don't want it to be overdone. This is becoming something where I feel overdone. Now, this is something that makes me feel a little bit better.
Okay.
And that will be this. Even though there are a ton of Marvel movies, the Captain America movies make me super happy. And I love the Thor movies, but the Captain America movies are on another level. The Avengers ones too. Like when you see Ant-Man or Iron Man or whatever, I like those as well. Mm-hmm. But they all give me different kind of feelings and different kind of excitement, even though they're in the same cinematic universe. And maybe with the Rian Johnson trilogy, the Skywalker trilogy, and then this new one that's been announced, maybe they'll be all so different that it will very much have a very different vibe, like these different Marvel things, and they build up to certain event type of things. And not in the same way as Marvel, because it's just not the same idea. So that might be what they're going for. I mean, they obviously want Star Wars movies in theaters all the time. And I like that. But to be honest, the fact that after Solo, I have to wait until December 2019, a Star Wars movie, I'm so happy about that. For one thing, it'd be nice to get kind of a break and turn your brain off. Now with the show, there won't be really much of a break. But it's different than gearing up for a movie, because a lot, besides being a fan, a lot goes into covering these things. And it's a labor of love. It's a wonderful thing. But I like being excited. If I had Christmas every 6 months, it wouldn't be Christmas.
You know
what I mean?
Sure.
So I've kind of gone on a long time about this, but tell me what you kind of think about that.
No, I mean, you're passionate about it. I mean, you're making yourself known, and I was giving good thought to it. So I think it's a good idea. I mean, it's a valid response, I think. I mean, now if they're building up to really a nice, you know, they're building this galaxy into something that's bigger and better. And I like your comparison to the Marvel films, because, you know, before we saw Avengers, we saw Captain America, Iron Man, Thor, and all in their singular films. Now take that. Let's pretend, you know, Captain America, Iron Man, and Thor were all their own like lineages, and they've got these, you know, three or four films in their settings. Now they're meeting in Avengers, right? Or at least, you know, coming together in one.
Yeah.
And they're meeting each other for the first time. So imagine if, you know, character A from Rian Johnson's film and character B from the new series meets Rey. Oh my gosh, you know, that's mind blowing in a sense of from some perspective, right? I mean, you're a long ways to get there. You know, these characters are all interacting in a certain sense. They're not building to something bigger, but necessarily they're just interacting within the same universe. That's cool.
They'll
all
be in very different timelines, though, don't you think?
Well, maybe. I mean, I don't know. That's a good question. That's a very good question. It could be different timelines. But yet, when they showed the preview for the latest Avengers movie, Infinity War, there's a lineup of characters. I want to say Black Widow, Captain America, Hulk, Bucky and Black Panther, and they're all running towards the screen. And I thought, this is cool. This is, a bunch of great characters put together in a film. But wait a minute, where's Spider-Man and Iron Man? It's just like all of a sudden you have this humongous shot of 40 characters running at the screen in this momentous, awesome scene. But that all of a sudden, man, I have to track who all these characters are in one scene and with my eyeballs. And it's just like, ooh, gosh, that seems like a lot. I mean, it sounds silly. You're like, oh, well, Corey, this is probably an awesome scene, right? You want to see this thing. But like, think back and just, I don't know. It just seems like a lot to take in. It seems overwhelming to me. I mean, that's just my own thoughts. And like you mentioned too, it seems like it's overwhelming for you, but maybe it won't be. Maybe they'll structure it in a way to where we can consume it at our own pace. But I think the overall arching idea that you have mentioned, and I've mentioned as well, is we don't get saturated enough that we don't care. There has to be the stories right. have to be, enough to invoke our fandom for us to, like you said, sit up and take notice, right? And go, wow, okay, another Star Wars film. Great. I'm looking forward to Rian Johnson's second film because I really enjoyed this character or this, timeline or this, type of atmosphere or whatever it may be. But I don't know. It's hard to say because we don't know a lot of details, but overall, I mean, I'm excited for it. I'm excited to see where it goes, but it is a lot to take in.
It is. And again, it's not the usual concerns that some people have. I'm not worried it's going to be bad. Mm-hmm. I think it'll be cool. I'm sure I'll be all over it. And it may not be my favorite Star Wars films. Hard to say. But basically my point is, and thanks for summing it up the way you did, is I'm okay with there not being a new Star Wars film every year. Right. I'm okay with that. Like, I have enough to fill my Star Wars cup as it is with the history of what we've got. And the other media forms, and plus other things. I mean, there are other things that I like besides Star Wars.
Right. Yeah.
But to get upset and outraged about it, I don't know. I feel like there can be a better uses of your time. But again, that's just my opinion.
I was going to say, I never want to get to the point where I'm talking to someone about a movie and, I'll say something, the Captain America movie. And then their response is, now, which one is that?
Yeah, right.
I don't want that. I mean, yes, in some respects, that's okay to say that. But I think I want to say, hey, this is The Force Awakens. And they go, okay, yeah, that's the one that with Rey and Finn and blah, blah, blah.
Because you don't want to be desensitized.
Right.
I mean, this is Star Wars. You don't want to be desensitized to Star Wars.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's the challenge. That's the fear that people have.
Yeah.
That's fair.
The other thought I had too was, we think of great franchises, obviously, on TV has always got a nice long run. You want to keep seeing more. And the one that comes to mind is Seinfeld. Is everybody wants to see more Seinfeld, because it did such a great job and it kind of went out on a high note and everybody really enjoyed that. And you think, well, do you really want more Seinfeld? Or is it just because, they knew what they were doing? They were smart and they think, we're going to end on a high note. We're going to go out with a bang and just let it be historic, let it be its own legend. And, I'm not saying I don't want more Seinfeld. I love Seinfeld, love those characters, but, I can always go back and watch the old ones and still enjoy those and get the same feelings again. I don't know. It's a weird situation to be in. I wouldn't want Star Wars to end, but I don't want it to go on. I mean, I don't know. It just seems like I don't want to become not a fan of it.
No, I it's not weird at all. I think that's how a lot of people are feeling.
Mm-hmm.
But again, it's unique. So let's shift gears a little bit and let's talk about, these creators. These two are they're icons in the genre world in television. They're Emmy award winning creators, and they took, the Game of Thrones books. And they made them into, this phenomenon, this cultural phenomenon. I mean, you see what Twitter's like when there's a new Game of Thrones and what that does to people and the shocks and the twists and the things that they do. I mean, they're powerhouse creators. And so they're writing and they're producing new Star Wars films. It does not say they're directing. They're writing and they're producing. Don't know where they're going to be. We don't know the tone. But the initial concerns that people have so far, and these are all very well-founded, and one is probably the most important one is, when are we going to get a creator of a Star Wars film that is not a white male, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, isn't a disparagement against these two or against Kathleen Kennedy's judgment, because we don't know what she has planned, and she's done nothing but show us great things so far. So I very much completely trust in her. But it would be nice to see that. I think that's really important. And maybe whoever's directing it will do that. But, you know, they're picking and choosing the talent that they think will add to their product. And we've been promised that the creative teams behind these new television series and these streaming series, whatever they're going to be, are going to be very, very high level as well. So it's a wait and see, but we're just hoping that we'll get closer to this than further away. The other concern is that, look, Game of Thrones, I don't know where you are on Game of Thrones. I saw the first season, and I liked it. I was entertained, but after a while, it was too much. It was too much violence, too much sex, too much the way that people, children, women, people were treated. It started to really bother me.
Sure.
So the push button thing is, oh my gosh, is Star Wars going to be like that? Mm. I don't think so, and I can't remember where or who said it, but I remember getting the idea that Star Wars is always going to be for something that kids can enjoy as well as adults. So I don't feel like they're going to go that route. And it doesn't mean that because these two are creating it, that it's going to be, you know, obscene or vulgar or gratuitous. I mean, maybe it just means it's going to be creative and with compelling characters.
Yeah. Yeah, you bring up some interesting points, and I've heard a lot of some interesting ideas out on the internet. I was saying the same things, and to that respect too, that folks have been clamoring for a female director. On that same note, you know, and it's an interesting perspective, because the times we live in now, people can kind of just come out and say what they want to say, what's on their mind, and you know, it's unfiltered and it's put out on the internet for people to read and take how they will. As much as I don't know how that business works, the franchise, the film franchise, the medium of that sort, what I do know is how to write a story. And I've never bought a book that is based on what the author's photo looks like. I bought a book because there's a story told. There's a character involved, or somebody that I can appeal to. Not to say that everybody's a good writer. I'm not saying everybody's a poor writer. But I think if an individual can write a story and translate that to film in a way that invokes fandom to take note or to feel emotion or, you know, just to feel for, I mean, like, I guess trying to just become a fandom of this film and can do that. It doesn't make a difference who they are. And yes, I'm all for diversity. I'm all for giving everybody a chance and see what they can do with it. And I'm not dying the talent that's ever been given a chance to do those things. And the folks that maybe who have been given a chance and turned it down. I mean, we don't hear about those people too much. And I have faith in the folks who are putting out current films, right? So we've got a lot of films to talk about. We're not sitting around and saying, oh yeah, that Force Awakens was no big deal, or that Last Jedi was just as ho-hum. It gave us so much to dissect, so much to talk about. And the folks involved there, the creative teams, are widely diverse. Those are where the ideas are coming from. I mean, quit looking directly at who's got their fingers in on the product, on the project. And look at the wider range of folks involved in this. I mean, it's the casting directors. Kathleen Kennedy herself is kind of steering the ship, if you will. I mean, that was a long time ago that George Lucas put her in charge, and she's a huge, you know, had plenty of awards and such. And I mean, we got to stop kind of looking this narrow pinhole of who these people are and these, you know, new directors that are announced and saying, oh, they're not this guy or this, not this person I want to have. And we say, like, okay, let's widen the scope here. Yeah, these are the guys they picked, but let's look and see what, you know, their crew looks like, and look at the, you know, the everything that's surrounding this film and this project that I wanted to dissect and go from there, because they know what they're doing. I mean, they've proven themselves, obviously, to have some kind of guarantee that they're going to do a good job, and or at least try to do a good job. I mean, I'm not saying anything can't flop either. I mean, it's the double-edged sword. I mean, that's what we talked about when Force Awakens first kind of came out and was announced, that these directors were kind of coming on board and they're asking these big name directors, and they're saying, I don't want to touch it, you know, because it's we understand what it's like in this business, and this
a lot of pressure too.
A lot of pressure, exactly. So I get that on both sides of the street. And these guys obviously are excited to do this and blessed to do this. So I it's hard to say that, because you're making a snap decision. And I would hope that we would be, if the folks out there who are looking for more diverse people to take these roles, that they would not make snap decisions and, you know, understand that things are moving. Things are moving in a direction that they are beholden to, whether it be actors, directors, producers, writers, whoever. I mean, let's take a look at everything that has moved and has moved forward for the Star Wars franchise in itself. And we've seen a lot of change. And even the last film in itself, it was a completely different film than we ever expected, I think. And that's change in itself right there, even with just the film, even in Star Wars, and even just the intricacies of Star Wars and the characters we love, just the changes there are different. Because there's a change going on, right? There's, I guess I want to go back. Sounds dumb. I want to go to that force for change thing. There's that unique coin of phrase, sure, that there's a force for change, but it's happening. It is happening. It's not moving at the speed they want it to, but you know, maybe that's why we have a new bunch of films coming out. I mean, like you said, maybe they're going to do a bunch of new directors, and yeah, they write those films, but here's directors, and you know, Ryan Johnson's here, are the writers for this film and whatnot. We don't know until they're announced and official, but you know, there's still, I think, hope out there for all the folks looking to get their, you know, their folk, that person they want to have in that position. And I think that's okay. I think it's okay to still continue to be that voice and say those things, not be silent and talk about it, because we do need to talk about it, because that's what, you know, people are listening to. So I guess in that perspective, again, you mentioned to help me. Oh, the Game of Thrones and the raunchiness of everything. And we started season one way back when it was big, and we didn't get through, I think, four or five episodes before we kind of shut off and said, you know, it's not for us. And it's funny, because I bought a couple of the books because I was interested in reading the books. And I never got a chance to read those. But again, you know, it's up to your tenacity of what you want to take.
Yeah, your taste. Person.
So your taste, right? So yeah, I haven't seen all the Game of Thrones. I'd like to someday, maybe if I want to try it again. But I don't think they're going to insert that into the Star Wars universe, because translating a book to film is not an easy thing to do, or you know, a story to film is not easy for everybody. And you know, Game of Thrones is not—it's a different franchise. It's a different thing. It's its own vehicle, and you got to kind of push away from that. That's, if you're going to write a Game of Thrones thing, you're going to have blood, you're going to have guts, sex, and nudity, and all that goes into it, because that's what the fans, you know, they want. That's they're clamoring for. But if you shift gears and put on a different hat, and it says Star Wars on it, and you got to write for Star Wars, well, this is what these fans want. So you have to be able to adapt and kind of change to that in a sense. I think that's understood in this film world, that if you're going to work on this type of project, this is kind of how it goes. This is the, you know, way we're going to do things. I mean, you look at that, some of the Marvel stuff too. I mean, like, they all kind of have that same, you know, idea going forward. And if you're going to do a Marvel film, here's kind of how, you know, we've done it in the past. Here's a template, if you will, of how, you know, that we've seen success, right? So we're looking for success. They're not looking for a failure. They want to sell merchandise. They want to sell properties. They want to sell tickets. So in order to get that, they want to be able to fill out the template just right, so that they can get a great product out to the people.
Right. Well, this is the thing also that I wanted to kind of address real quickly. I think one thing that makes me just slightly nervous and maybe a bit melancholy is we're getting a Rian Johnson thing. We're going to get these films, and there's no reason to think, well, actually there is. I'm worried I'm not going to see any more Skywalker stuff. I mean, Star Wars to me, my favorite thing about Star Wars is the battle with the Rebel Alliance and the Resistance against the Empire and slash or the First Order. Like, I like the galactic turmoil and tension in people from humble beginnings rising up to against the mighty oppressor. Mm-hmm. And I like all of that. And undoubtedly, there's something like that still that's going to happen. But I don't want to get so far off the beaten path that I don't have my Star Wars. And again, that's just silly. That's just being anxious about something that I obviously know way of knowing and what's going on. There's not too many people in the world that do actually know what's going to happen with these things. I just don't want to get so far away from Skywalker-ness that we kind of forget where we came from. Does that make sense?
It does. It is. And but, you know,
it doesn't mean that we will. You know, it's just, right, just sort of voicing a concern or something that I'm aware of. But it's not going to prevent me from seeing this movie the first day and just going wild over it, I'm sure.
Yeah. So, I mean, as a creator, you always want to expand and change and be able to stretch yourself a little bit, I think. And this is just a thought of mine.
Like Seinfeld, like you said, you don't want to just keep going back to the well just because you have these characters. I love how Seinfeld ended, and I hope there's never more Seinfeld. And to me, it just makes what we have even better.
Well, I mean, the other thing too is like, what's the best thing you can do with Seinfeld? You could do a Kramer show, you know, right? So it's like the spinoff, and it wasn't as good, but you know, whatever. I mean, it's one of those things that like, I want more of it, but then here it is in a different vein, you know, or it doesn't succeed as well. To your thought about, you know, the ending of the Skywalker series, you know, I thought about that same thing today when that was announced. I thought, well, that's odd that they would do that. You know, it seems like they're, you know, killing their best horse type thing. And this is just my perspective. So we've had Rogue One that's been success and kind of the Skywalker lineage of sorts, but yet it's been outside that timeline. It's kind of, I look at it. I see if you close your eyes and look at a line in the air or a Skywalker lineage line. And then outside that is the Rogue One, and Han Solo kind of falls out that outside that lineage too. Right. So then we have another film that's they've announced, you know, that's, you know, a third individual film that's going to be put out there as well. So that could be outside that Skywalker line. So now we have a Rian Johnson line. We have a third series of line. So maybe those don't necessarily line up, but they're different in their own respective ways. So maybe the Rogue One and the Han Solo still captures characters we know, characters we love, but yet in a different way. So then if we were to go off the beaten path and go see a Rian Johnson film that has nothing about Skywalker in it, but yet we follow a young hero and, you know, his way of coming through the galaxy and becoming himself, blah, blah, you know, end credits. Okay, well, that's not so bad. It's still in Star Wars. I like that. Doesn't have any Skywalker in it. But, you know, I kind of saw that with Han Solo. I kind of saw it with Rogue One. So Rogue One and Han Solo are kind of the examples or the... I don't know, so the prototypes for some of these newer films, maybe. And they're seeing, you know, let's try this. It has Han Solo, but it has not really Han Solo, right? So it's kind of different. So let's try it and see what people think. And we'll decide to, you know, move forward how we, you know, come away with that. You know, Rogue One, I think, was a success. So they kind of move forward, maybe. So I and that's just more of the moving the engine, the beast itself, I think, and how they originate ideas and how they write all this stuff together and you know, putting out new stuff. I mean, Skywalker can't go on forever, right? I mean, it's in a sense of all of a sudden, you know, you've got 40 different Skywalker films. You think, man, this guy, this lineage is never going to die. Right. You know, so it's going to be, I mean, does it end somewhere like that and keep tying back to those films somehow? Or, you know, is that kind of the main vein that's going through the cycle of films? I don't know. It's interesting. Well, I guess we'll be finding out pretty soon.
Right, and I certainly don't want more and more and more Skywalker stories. There's only so many that can be told and still maintain that quality and mystique. Yeah, exactly. So much to process. I'm still digesting The Last Jedi, and we already have, you know, this extra thrown our way too. So it'll be interesting. We'll see what happens after things kind of die down a little bit and we get a little bit more information. And it's, you know... What a unique, wondrous, fascinating, transitive problem to have, right? So,
yeah.
Corey, hey, as always,
oh, yeah.
Thank you so much for joining us today. Where can listeners find you and your contributions to Star Wars fandom?
Sure. Yeah, I'm on Twitter at Corey Club. You can check me out there. I'm on Instagram, taking photos of my mustache and all the good stuff there. And I'm anywhere and everywhere. Feel free to shout out to me and give me a ring and see what you have on your mind. I mean, it's always fun to interact with folks and get their perspective and hear from them.
This podcast is not endorsed by the Walt Disney Company or Lucasfilm Limited. It is intended for entertainment and informational purposes only. The official Star Wars website can be found at www.starwars.com. Star Wars, all names, sounds, and any other Star Wars related items are registered trademarks and or copyrights of Disney and their respective trademark and copyright holders. All original content of this podcast is the intellectual property of Coffee with Kenobi unless otherwise indicated.
This is the podcast you're looking for.
There's no one here. Move along.